Looking at the pictures I keep on my shelf, cause it's been so long since I've looked like myself. Burn another candle down, burn another candle down. Running low on patience, running out on fumes. I'm never gonna make it halfway to the moon. But it's too late to turn around, but it's too late to turn around. I'm running out of oxygen, I'll never be the same again now. Same again now. Oh my god, I can't remember who I was just last December. What have I done? How did I get here? What have I done?
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my partner, Boris.
That's me. Hi, everybody.
Our show is available live on your radio, also through our app, The Cure, and our website, GodIsTheCure.com. We're broadcasting today live from Miami through satellite, available on radios more than 11 states, among others, and soon after the show on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that we are not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information. Knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I do believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing to each other. Though my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. There's always hope. The song we just played earlier was Oh My God by Alec Benjamin. How do we balance fear of the unknown with anxiety due to unprecedented times? We are all dealing with mental health, wondering how we got here. Some of us believe it's too late to turn around as we learn to adapt to the new normal. We grow anxious about being independent and responsible. Most of us feel the effects and are struggling in different ways, from those driven predominantly by fear and others consumed with anxiety because of the present situation. Although some fear could be a motivating factor in being responsible and doing the right thing, anxiety is an unnecessary burden added to the existing fear. Do we continue adding salt to the wound? Or do we face our problems and focus on solutions? Do we even know that it's possible not to be afraid or anxious despite a crisis? The uncertainty of how we got here and what will be. Our guest today, Dr. David Chadwick, will help us navigate fear and anxiety in these pandemic times. Dr. David Chadwick is a very interesting guy. He not only graduated from the UNC Chapel Hill, he was also a pro basketball player in the NCAA Final Four team. He graduated in counseling from the university and earned a master's degree of divinity and a doctor of ministry's degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. He's also the host of Moments of Hope. It's a weekly broadcast, and is the author of 9 books, including Hearing the Voice of God, and his newest book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. Dr. Chadwick is also the founding pastor of Moments in Hope Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Chadwick, thank you for being on the show. You're now live.
Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you, Boris. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for this invitation.
Dr. Chadwick, we have been living 2 months with the fear of this coronavirus, COVID-19, despite having learned a great deal. It's debatable whether or not the shutdown should have occurred, but it's also evident that anxiety is a growing problem throughout the United States, and there is at least 34% increase in prescriptions. Fear can keep us from seeing the truth, but anxiety is defeating the very purpose behind the attempt to avoid the spread of the disease. People are taking to the streets unprotected to protest for their freedom, believing the cure has become worse than the virus. In these pandemic times, where we have shown that we can comply to no avail, as we grow desperate and weary, please explain to us the dangers of anxiety coupled with fear in these times of crisis such as this.
Well, thank you, Amy. I felt in the book that the best way I could separate anxiety and fear was to say anxiety is the belief that something might happen. Fear is the belief that something will happen. And if you can possibly cut off the head of the snake, if you will, begin to solve the anxiety problem, then fear will shrink. You know, the truth is that 90% of what we worry about never happens. The truth is that when I began writing the book over a year ago, COVID-19 was nowhere on the horizon yet. Anxiety was the second major cause of teen suicide and was also the major cause among adults for dysfunctionality. So when my publishers got with me, knowing that I have a graduate degree in psychology from a secular university, but also biblical and theological training from a seminary after God called me into ministry, they said, why can't you combine your two disciplines academically into a book about anxiety? So when I began the work over a year ago, I was already dealing with a huge problem. And then, as you well noted, when the COVID-19 crisis hit some months ago and then forced us inward in isolation, we've just seen anxiety go on steroids.
It has
become an even larger problem.
Yes.
So to address it, what I did in the book was to say you've got to get at what you think, that we are what we think. Cognitive therapists and behaviorists all realize that. And if you want to solve the feeling of anxiety, you've got to solve what goes into your mind. And so the book's premise is you are what you think, looking at it from a biblical perspective and trying to get people to change their attitudes, to change how they look at life, to change their behaviors from the perspective of God's word, from God himself, instead of what is happening to us around us environmentally.
Well, I remember that God said, be courageous and of good cheer. We're not supposed to hide from our problems or run away from them, but face them and look for solutions, putting all our trust in God. Because God helps those who help themselves, not those who sit around to be helped by others.
Yes, I agree. And if we run away from the problem runs after us. It really never goes away. And that's why repeatedly throughout the Bible it says, be strong and courageous, face your problems. But what we who have faith must realize, we face our problems with a great God who is alongside us, who's with us, us plus one, God equals a majority, and we can face these fears and anxieties with his help, and indeed be, in Pauline language in Romans 8:37, more than conquerors. We can overcome these problems, but again, I believe that begins with allowing your mind to be focused on the truths of what God says and not the problem itself. Don't look at the mountain, look at the God. Don't look at the size of the mountain, look at the size of your God.
And St. Paul said, don't think of the things in heaven, think of the things in, don't think of the things on earth, think of the things in heaven. If we let the things on earth affect us, we're lost. We have to think God is with us, and we have to focus on his promises. Even if our bodies are deteriorating or our world is crumbling down, it doesn't matter. God still exists.
Well, you focused on one of my favorite verses in the book I wrote, Moving Beyond Anxiety, and that's Colossians 3:2, where Paul said, set your mind on things above, that we who are Christians are eternal creatures, and this world and all its worries are not going to exist in heaven. Therefore, I think people must make sure that every thought in our minds is rooted in an eternal perspective. Then when you look at life's issues from God's view, they become increasingly small. And I think that's what faith is, seeing life through God's eyes and not our own.
Right, because doctor, it's really incredible. I mean, I know what it's like to have fear of uncertainty. I know what it's like to feel that God may not help you. I know those things. I know what it's like to not know whether you're going to have a place to sleep or food to eat. And so we're going to talk about how we can not have fear and not have anxiety to live a better life. We will continue talking with Dr. David Chadwick about overcoming fear and anxiety. We would love to hear from you. Call us, 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Onion on to the touch. You cannot chase this ghost away. And this too shall pass, this too shall pass. It won't always be the same. And every single scar that you claim is a stone in the path to this place. And every single choice that you made has led you this way. So lay your head on me, lay your head on me.
We will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app, The Cure, with Amy Cabell.
The song we just played was Lay Your Head on Me by Marcus Mumford. Don't be afraid, love. Lay your head on me is the message God wants us to receive. When you're numb and you can't chase the ghost away, know that this too shall pass. With every scar that we claim as a stone to the right path, and every choice always leads us back to God.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on godisthecure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. Thank you for everybody who has submitted songs. Amy picks up the songs based on the topic of the show, the guests, and other reasons. A lot of them, some are secret. So it's not easy to get selected, but it's very, very possible.
We will continue talking to Dr. David Chadwick, discussing anxiety and fear. Dr. Chadwick, there already is an existing fear. And now that's a wrong. So then we're going to add another wrong to it, anxiety. And anxiety could be a very, very detrimental thing. I wanted to know, in your opinion, should this continue the way it is, where there's the fear of the virus reoccurring? And then from our cancel people, there's the fear that we will not do the right thing, or that we can't be trusted. And then from the people that have learned about this virus, there's the anxiety that they don't know how to survive or how to provide for their families. And at the same time, a lot of our constitutional rights are being compromised.
Well, everyone is being challenged right now with different kinds of anxieties that are coming upon them from all different directions. And you know, Amy, as well as I do, that most anxiety is caused by the reality that it may come upon me and I have absolutely no control over this. That's why the only way I know to begin to deal with anxiety is to do what you can do, control what you can control, but then you've got to trust God with the outcomes. You can only do what you can do and then trust God with the outcome itself. And I think that begins, again, in our thought life. We are what we think. In accordance with what goes into our minds, that causes us to feel what we feel. So therefore, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I think Paul here recognized that we have spiritual enemies and feelings that besiege our mind, but to defeat them, you must take every thought captive. You cannot afford even one contrary, negative, anxious thought against God to enter your mind. Not even one. It will eventually fester and become a toxic, anxious feeling that will lead to destructive behavior. So we've got to take those anxious thoughts captive before they set up shop in our minds and usher them out of our minds and give them to God and say, you know what, Lord, I am trusting what I can do, but I'm going to trust you with the outcome and believe that as I do my best and try to socially distance, as I try to obey the laws of the land, as I try to love my neighbor and not get too close, all of those things, ultimately, though, I'm trusting you with the outcome and believing that you will control everything according to your perfect will. And Amy, I think there and there alone is the peace that passes all understanding.
It's exactly how we did it. And you made a perfectly good point. God did say, only have good thoughts, only say good things, only have good feelings. You don't want to entertain bad thoughts. It will fester bad feelings. You don't want to do that. And, you know, I see that we have a call,
yes,
Doctor.
We have Kelly from Utah with a question for Dr. Chadwick. Kelly, you are on the air.
Hi, Doctor. My name is Kelly. I live in Utah, where there has been very, very little shelter-in-place laws here because of the pandemic being so small here and only less than 40 deaths. And our basic form of life has not changed as much, except for some businesses in Salt Lake City itself. However, I have found that everything you have said is true in terms of personal responsibility and trusting God's outcome. And here, nothing is better than nature and going out into nature and the mountains and hiking and biking and jogging, which everyone is doing, which helps relieve stress and anxiety. The other thing we have found that releases all this anxiety is basically turn off the media. Turn it off. If you really use your faith and ground it in realistic expectations and facts, you will find that basically 0.5% of people have the death outcome. And in my opinion, if only
actually it's a 0.02%, maybe.
Kelly,
yes, less than
Kelly,
0.5%.
So am I hearing right, Kelly? Utah never did a shutdown. They did the honor system.
They did the honor system, whereas go to a barber shop and it says out the door, if you feel sick, please do not come and get a haircut. And basically this population here is very strong in the honor system. And
so what is your question for Dr. Chadwick?
City downtown. My question is, for those who do not have the faith and do not trust the outcome, is the method I have told others to do, keep busy, 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 paint your walls, do your gardening, plant, do housework, do everything you can to keep busy. Is that a method, an alternative for those people who are not grounded in faith? Because we have to admit, not everyone is grounded in faith.
Well, Kelly,
yes,
you're
and
exactly
so what's
right.
What's the outbreak? Was there a huge outbreak? Even though you didn't do the shutdown, are people suffering anxiety? What's the outcome? Tell me.
Well, the outcome here has only been less than 40 deaths, which people look at it and say, okay, if it's only 40 deaths in the amount of population we have, then God called you. Too bad, so sad. He called you, it's your time to go. If not, you're here to stay. End of story. However, for those who basically are anxious about food and shelter, put on your pants, go outside, and find an open place, which they are. Even in places like New Jersey and New York, where there is a complete shutdown, you can pursue your food. You can pursue how to maintain your shelter, but you have to take responsibility.
So my question for Dr. Chadwick is, how is it that some of us can be trusted to do the right thing and some of us cannot be trusted to do the right thing? I thought we were all equal under God's eyes, and the only thing that I believe in is what's in line with God, regardless of politics. Please explain if you can.
Well, I think that people are either connected to God and desire to do what's right or they're not. And Kelly's asking the question, what do you do with people who are not connected with God and aren't going to place themselves under His will, aren't going to have their minds renewed? And the bottom line is they too can take responsibility. They
exactly.
Too can go outside and exercise and take care
exactly.
of their bodies. They can practice social distancing.
And we will continue talking about this when we return. Thank you, Doctor. Call us with your story, please, if you're anxious or scared. 866-34-TRUTH.
With Amy Cabell and The Cure.
It is if everyone dies alone.
Does that scare you?
I don't want to be alone.
Sipping on a Sunday, couples holding hands on a runway. They're all posing in a picture frame whilst my world's crashing down. Solo shadow on a sidewalk, just want somebody to die for. Sunshine living on a perfect day while my world's crashing down. I just want somebody to die for.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. Remember, The Cure Radio Show is available every Saturday at 1 p.m., and we're live.
All shows are available also as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabell on any podcast channel, maybe iTunes.
The song that just played was To Die For by Sam Smith. And I think of God, I look for God every day and every night. I love that song. That's how I see it. We all remember how carefree life used to be, and now most of us are burdened over how different it is. Loneliness can be very difficult. No one wants to die alone or go to the wrong place. We all want to be in the company of somebody to die for, someone that completes us, someone we would give our entire hearts to, and deliver the entire world and all of its aspects if we could. That's exactly what God did for us, even though we're not somebody to die for. So even though our world may be crashing down, we can take this as an opportunity to rise above, show leadership, courage, and faith, and hope that we may become that somebody to die for someday.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started again. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
Dr. Chadwick, may we continue speaking about fear and anxiety? For those of us that have a relationship with God, it doesn't matter. We don't pay attention to fear. We don't entertain anxiety. But for those that don't know God or don't have a relationship with God, going back to the question of the guest, Doctor, how can we help those of us weak in spirit?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is we can model for them our own faith and let them see how real it is in our own lives. Make them hunger for the God that we know. And as they see us casting all of our cares upon the God of the universe, whom we know loves us so much, they will want to know, in a relationship like we have, this same God. I think we just love them. We care for them. We walk alongside them. We don't try to judge them for not having the faith that we have, but we let them see that faith that we have, and it hungers their heart for the God that we know. And then ultimately, again, we point them in 1 Peter 5:7 language to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And when we know that God is carrying our anxieties and all of our fears, then we know that we are then at peace because he is the one carrying them.
True story. What a great point. I long to be like those with bigger fear, with bigger faith. I long to be like them. And so little by little, I work it one day at a time, hoping to grow.
Yeah, I'm behind. I'm sorry.
But at least he's reading the Bible. I pray he
That's
reads
a start,
the Bible.
Right?
He'll give me the highlights later. But
so funny.
Would you like to share with us some of your 12 strategies to renew your mind and spiritual disciplines?
Yes, thank you, Amy. It'd be my pleasure to do so. Again, the book I wrote about a year ago, long before I knew the COVID-19 crisis would be a reality, is entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. These really are spiritual disciplines that we can daily train our brain to focus on. And when we do so, anxiety and fear lessen. They can't get into our minds, and we're operating as God wants us to. Here's one, pray with faith. You know, that's what Paul said in Philippians 4:6, that don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, pray with prayers of supplication and thanksgiving. And interestingly, Paul says there, I think, that when a thought starts to enter your mind that's anxious, you spirit usher it out and replace it with thanksgiving thoughts. And I encourage people in the book to make a thanksgiving list. Go and look at everything in your life that you can be thankful for. The next beat of your heart, the next gulp of air, the next food you ingest. Go outside and consider creation. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that when you consider creation, you look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and you see how God cares for them. He uses the a for orti argument of how much more will he care for you, the crown of his creation, human beings. Again, if he cares for birds and grass and flowers, how much more will he care for you? Again, make that Thanksgiving list, and the minute an anxious thought comes into your mind, spirit, usher it out and say, Lord, I'm thankful for, and start making that list. Amazingly, Amy, if you'll just do that, you'll find you have literally dozens, hundreds of different things in your life to be thankful for, and then you have an attitude of gratitude, a mind filled with thanksgiving, and not worry. That's another way that we found in my family's life that you can conquer anxiety.
How about asking God what it is he wants of you? What's the best way to make the best of your time? The best way to treat others? How you can constantly think of ways of making God happy? Prayer and praise and meditation. Appreciation for everything in your life and appreciation for the outside world, especially the sun that we have been blessed with. Dr. Chadwick, as we've learned that the sun, God I really do believe God provided everything that we needed, everything in nature. But the sun amazingly soaks, the UV rays, the heat, and the humidity actually kills the viruses in less than 2 minutes. What do you know? Why are they keeping parks closed or beaches closed? Who knows?
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense in some ways, especially as you mentioned, humidity and heat kill the virus. And to keep parks and especially beaches, which are wide open to the sunshine, closed, I mean, you can still keep those things open and practice social discipline.
Right.
Is that a lack of faith? And then is that a lack of faith?
Well, I find that if worry is keeping you from walking on a beach because you're so afraid of this thing, you're going to live your life in paralysis and not in hope, like you've so mentioned well in the show. And you can be protected by the Lord God of this universe. I do believe that there's an old Revolutionary War slogan that said, trust God to keep the gunpowder dry. You know, we do our best, but we also trust God in all of this. And Amy, that's what I'm sensing is being missed in all of this.
Yes.
Is a rededication of our life and faith to God, believing in Psalm 91 language. He is our protector.
And believing in each other, it's almost as the trust has been crippled. I mean, they tell us, this is how you protect yourself. You know, stay home, you save lives. But that's hiding from the problem. The best way, our business was essential. But we put virus killer in the AC. We put UV lighting all over our office. We made sure we equipped the people that we worked with PPEs, provided masks for people coming in. They had to wash their hands, all the patients coming in and out. And we trusted God. I prayed about it at least. And nobody, thank God, has been infected. We went a step further. We tested them for antibodies in case they were a silent carrier. And that's what you do when you trust God. And God, by the way, gives us our own will and trusts us enough to be responsible to do the right thing. Why can't our council people follow the example of Jesus?
Well, Amy, I don't know the answer to that. I think they are not really looking at all the information as best as they can. You know, there's an old quote from St. Augustine, the great theologian of the 5th century, who said, we work like it all depends on us, but we pray like it all depends on God. It sounds like that's what you're doing. You're doing everything you can to protect your people and yourself from the virus, but you're also trusting God. And there is a message of intervention there between those two things coming together that allows us, I think, to function well as a society. And you know, and we're seeing it all around us, people are social creatures and they will obey to a point, but when their freedoms start getting taken away from them, they will start rebelling and start moving outward.
Yeah, and it can get potentially worse. Exactly.
Yes, I mean, it does. The thing is, you don't know who's who until there's a crisis. And then it's when you realize the mistakes that you've made and who not to vote for again. We would love to hear from you. Tell us your personal story of anxiety and fear. Call us at 866-34-TRUTH.
866-34-TRUTH. So I can say something to him.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
I'm waking up to a new year, got the past million miles away. I've been waking up with a new fear, but I know it'll wash away. Whatever you do, don't worry about me. I'm thinking about you, don't worry about us. Cause in the morning everything can change, yeah. And time will tell you it does. Oh, I know that there'll be better days. Oh, that sunshine about to come my way. May we never, ever shed another tear today. Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days. Better days.
And now we will will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. This is The Cure, live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, our app, The Cure. On social media, look for God is The Cure.
Later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo everywhere where podcasts are.
The song that just played was Better Days by One Republic. There will be better days. Fears, they wash away. Every morning is a new start. And God's good time, things have a way of working out. Sunshine will always come our way. And if we have faith, we see the light and never share another tear for today.
Again, want to remind you, please give us a suggestion about a song to be played on the show. Just go through our contact us page on godisthecure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
We will continue talking to the wonderful doc, David Chadwick, discussing anxiety and fear in this pandemic. Dr. Chadwick, I'm not really worried about me. I'm not worried about us. I really know that God has us. I'm confident in that. What I worry is about others who don't know how they will make it, who they don't know how they'll put food on the table, who have never asked for help, yet they're waiting in lines, begging for food, what that does to the spirit, or the inability to take care of your family. Those are the people that I'm worried for. But I know there'll be better days, Dr. Chadwick, and I know that things must happen this way, as confusing and as frustrating as it may be, because this may be the only way that people will see the true colors of others, because crises can bring out the best in us, or it can bring out the worst in us. And Dr. Chadwick, in light of the fact that Mother's Day is coming up, how can parents help their children with their anxious thoughts? Because sometimes they're anxious and we don't even know it. And we need to talk to them, just in case.
Amy, that's a wonderful question. And in light of Mother's Day coming up a week from tomorrow, I think it would be wise for every mother and father to take advantage of these moments when we are forced to be at home and forced to be together. I have had a number of people in the church I pastor here in Charlotte, Moments of Hope Church, tell me that this COVID crisis incubation isolation time period has been a blessing. It's forced them to have meals together as moms and dads and kids. It's forced them to start talking with one another. It's forced them to start asking the very important questions of their children, which is something every person listening could do with their kids. Ask this question: how's your heart? You know, what are you feeling? And kids, interestingly, if they don't have any other place to turn, will start steering their focused feelings with their parents. It gives parents a chance to really know what's going on in their kids' lives. It's a chance for parents to share their own faith with their kids, for the kids to see faith lived out in their parents. And Amy, I believe with all of my heart that faith is more caught than taught. Now, faith should be taught by parents. You need to go to biblical truths and teach your kids. But what your kids really need to see, mom and dad's faith really live out. That mom and dad during this crisis time are refusing to let anxiety rule in their hearts, and they choose to let faith flow through them, and their kids see that. They give evidence to it. And long after mom and dad have gone to be with the Lord in heaven and my mom and dad have passed away, but I remember how they lived faith and how they gave their faith to me mostly by the way they lived, more than the words they said.
Right. I think the children are sponges. And if the parent is stressed or afraid, the children will feel it. I make it a point that when I do my prayer, I put it on Alexa and I put it really loud. I want them to know that I'm praying. I want them to know that I trust God and that I put everything on God. And I hope that that transfers on them. Because Catholic school is not enough. Church is not enough. It has to be led by example. They have to live it, and they have to love it.
Well, exactly, Amy. And I tell you, the most powerful faith declaration you can make to your kids is for them during this time of crisis to see you on your knees praying, to see you with an open Bible trying to seek God's word of faith and truth. When kids see parents actually living out their faith, that's what they're going to want. And also, this is a great chance for mothers and fathers to regularly get their kids together for some family worship time, when they sing songs of faith and not fear, when they read God's word about faith and not fear, when they pray together and express faith, not fear. These are some remarkably wonderful times for parents to have family devotions with their kids when they truly are a captive audience.
Well, they are a captive audience, Doctor, and I must be honest, it's not very easy. My tween and my teen gets bored or even sometimes a little annoyed. Oh, my God, talking. But at least I can get them to pray at the table.
They try to leave. Home. Here's mom with her gut talking.
And they're doing chores now. So that's a great thing about the virus. I'm very grateful.
Those are good things.
Before they didn't have time to do chores. Now they're helping
me.
Oh,
look at that. Mimi is here. She wants to comment on that. Okay. Thank you for the complaint.
Sorry.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh, wait. I forgot.
You know, Amy, if people complain, they remain in the problem. When they learn to pray, they're raised out of the problem. And as we teach our children that complaining and grumbling don't do anything, but if especially we can get them to go to work and do something, then we really have been successful.
Well, I tell them they're not doing it for me. They're doing it for God, and they need the graces.
Exactly.
So, more than what I can give them anyway.
Well, he's the ultimate boss, isn't he?
Yes. So, what is your take on the first step to changing the way that you think? Say, let's say you're a very negative person, or you just can't see anything positive, or you can't see the light, and I know what it's like to be there. So, what do you suggest is the first step in changing the way that you think?
Well, here's what I've done. I've imagined that I'm sitting on a park bench with Jesus, and literally he's my best and closest friend. And I'm living in despair and darkness, and really, Amy, I've been there too. Most any person who's lived for any number of years has had those moments of despondency, living in a fog, and they just don't know how to get out of it. I've just imagined myself on that park bench with Jesus, and he loves me, he's got his arm around me, and he turns to me and says, "What do you want me to do?" And I literally give him just the first smallest worry that I have. I say, "Lord, I'm worried about my finances." And I give that to him. I literally take it out of my hand and put it into his. He says to me, "Can I really have this?" I say, "Yes." So you take that first smallest step of faith, that anxiety that's in your heart, and you literally give it to him, and you believe that he's now carrying it. You believe he now has it in his hands and you're not carrying it anymore. I think when you take that first small step with that smallest anxiety, then you can give him the next one, then the next one, and the next one. And in that time of daily prayer on that park bench with him, slowly but surely you cast all your cares on him. Slowly but surely you hear him say, "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, all who are weary. Give it to me, let me carry it, and you can have rest for your soul."
Nice.
That is very, very well said, Dr. Chadwick. So, regarding your book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, it's so timely again now that we've talked about it. What do you think is the main take-home message for the reader?
Well, I think the reader, for my desire, would take home with them the belief that God has provided everything for us that we need to conquer anxiety, you know, that we have in his power and his strength through faith what we need to overcome anxiety. We don't need to carry these burdens. He has given us the ability to give them to him. And there's that wonderful verse in 2 Timothy 1:7 which says, God did not give us a spirit of fear.
No.
So if we feel fear, it did not come from God. God did not give that to us. So why are we carrying something that is not from God but from the enemy?
That is very well said, Doc. We are almost finishing with today's show. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Only a few minutes left. Thank you.
Yeah, because fear, I'm sorry, that's of the enemy. Fear is meant to keep you from seeing the truth, or it's to keep you to stay compliant and control you. But we're almost done with today's show. Only a few minutes. Thank you, Doctor, for being in the show. Your book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, is a timely tool to deal with the current pandemic. And more information on Dr. Chadwick can be found on momentsofhopechurch.org. Dr. Chadwick, we have a minute left. Would you like to lead us in prayer to give us hope for those struggling with fear and anxiety?
Amy, it would be my privilege. Thank you for this privilege. Daddy in heaven, who is our eternal daddy, and you love us so much, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you in the name of Jesus. It's through him that we can come to you and give you all that is on our hearts today. Lord, Daddy, I ask that you give us greater faith. Give us more faith to believe that you're eternally in control of everything and anything that's in our lives. We choose to take it off our shoulders and put it on your shoulders. And Lord Jesus, we believe that as fear and anxiety knock on the door of our hearts, that we can choose to you to go and answer that door in faith. And what we know, Lord Jesus, is that when fear knocks on our heart's door and we send you to answer it, we open the door and find that fear is gone. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for that reality. We cling to it. We believe it. We cast all our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And we look forward, Lord, to the peace and freedom that you give to us by walking in faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, and what a privilege, Dr. Chadwick.
Thank goodness there's a God. Imagine if we were alone. Wow. Thank you again, Dr. Chadwick. Have a great day.
Thank you,
and God bless.
For the privilege of being on your show.
The privilege is ours.
And thank you also to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today, making the show sound good, and playing my music picks. And thank you to the Christian Car Guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance. The Christian Car Guy is an awesome show. Until next time, until next week, be safe. Don't go near elders. Wash your hands constantly. Wear face masks. And have faith. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Until next week, much love.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.